Very, very warm welcome to you on Fellowship Day 970, a mere 10 days, believe it or not, since the last episode of the Read Indeed podcast. I did say that we were in danger of becoming a little bit more regular again, so here we are. You will, if you are a keen ear on the podcast, hear that slight hoarseness, that deeper bass note in my voice this morning. That does, of course, mean that I was out yesterday. I partook in a few drinks, and I mean a few, just a few. I feel absolutely fine. I did not stay out late. I was a good little boy. I got home, had a good night's sleep. There's just something about ethanol that sticks with me the next day to say, here's a reminder that you were not a Puritan last night, Dr. Mark Reed. In any case, where was I? I was, thanks to a dear mentor of mine, Dr. Fraser Kerr. Shout out to you, Fraser. I know you listen. I know you like to listen. He turned me on to the so-called Fuck Up Nights. Now, this is an organisation, a franchised organisation I had never heard about until a few days ago when Fraser suggested that we go to this. They, in a nutshell, put together speaking nights where people come together to celebrate the career failures that hide behind otherwise far more publicly facing career successes. So we were there last night. There's four speakers from a diverse range of backgrounds. Each one of them, if you look at them at this point in time, incredibly successful, I dare say inspiring, all in their own right, all for their own audiences. But they each came to the stage and shared the times it didn't work, the times it didn't go right, the times that they were so challenged that they were threatened both physically and mentally even. So it was a really eye-opening night. I loved to see it, and not to lose any opportunity through it, it deeply resonated with me, having written a lot about failure and repeated rejection for Chapter 6 of You Are Not a Fraud. So I actually reached out to the organisers before going along last night, and I won't say much more for now, but hoping, and it's looking like we're going to be able to organise an occasion where I can speak at one of the future Fuck Up Night events in Glasgow. I'm also happy to be helping sponsor an upcoming event at the Bristol chapter of the Fuck Up Nights. That's coming in the 1st of October, I believe, 2024, if you happen to be listening to this in real time. So that's cool. That was good fun. That was an eye-opener, as I've said. I went there as a blank canvas last night, really thoroughly enjoyed it. If you want to hear about these stories of all the times it didn't go very well, the stories that have far more substance than those of success, thoroughly encourage you to try to get along to one of the Fuck Up Nights. They're all around the world, so wherever you're listening from here on the Read Indeed podcast, you'll be able to find those events. And who knows, maybe I'll see you at one of the Glasgow events, if indeed I get to speak at one of those. Now, following that little preamble, that little explanation as to why I'm a little hoarse in the voice today, doing something a little bit different on the Read Indeed podcast. Different, but not unfamiliar. Occasionally, for those of you who have been listening for the longest time, know that I like to add in the odd audio essay as an episode of the Read Indeed podcast. That started years ago now, when before the podcast, and while I was exploring different writing styles to write my book, I wrote a blog for several years. So in order to evolve the blog towards the podcast and essentially retire the old school blog, I turned many of them into audio essays. Now, what you're hearing today is not one of those blogs, but one I was kindly asked to write for the UKRI, so the folks who sponsor my Future Leaders Fellowship. Back in February this year, I got a chance to give one of the keynote lectures at the Fellows Conference. So a flavour of the Imposter Syndrome Masterclass workshop that I've been given across unis and businesses for the past few years since the book came out. And after giving that talk at the conference, I put together this blog, which is essentially one of the snippets, one of the nuggets from the You Are Not a Fraud book that sticks with me and is often one of the most resonant messages. So this isn't a direct, let's say, it's not directly lifted from the book. It's somewhat paraphrased, and there's an addition of some thoughts that have occurred to me since writing the book 2 years ago. So without further ado, for this audio essay episode of the Read Indeed podcast, please enjoy this reading of Compare Carefully to Manage Your Inner Imposter. Comparing yourself to others can lead you to conclude that you are an incompetent fraud. This common element of the so-called imposter syndrome is often seen as an enemy to crush rather than an old friend to walk with. The Thief of Joy. When you compare your abilities to those around you, what assumptions are you making? If you've ever felt like an imposter at work, I'd be willing to bet that it is, at least in part, because you have endlessly compared yourself to the best in your business. So what can you do about such behaviour before it stunts your growth? Consider the following statement. Quote, I often compare my abilities to those around me and think they might be better than I am. Close quote. How much did those words resonate with you? When I surveyed over 100 attendees at the 2024 UKRI Future Leaders Fellows Conference, 3 out of 4 people agreed that such comparisons of competence were a regular feature in their daily work. In my own study of the imposter phenomenon, in my book You Are Not a Fraud, no statement chimed with more empathetic agreement than the one above on comparisons to our peers. Listen to my last sentence again. No statement chimed with more emphatic agreement than the one above on comparisons to our peers. Notice that I said peers and not simply people. Why? The comparisons you make between yourself and your peers can be the fuel that lights the fire of your ambition. If taken too far, those same comparisons can reduce your ambitions to ash. What you have to realise is that this drive for comparison runs much deeper than your own imposter experience. Because the imposter phenomenon itself, I would argue, is the birth child of a sociological phenomenon that was first coined during the study of US military in the Second World War. A wartime origin. When sociology professor Samuel Stouffer studied the morale of soldiers in wartime, he observed a curious difference between military police and the Air Corps. Stouffer surveyed men across these two army divisions and asked the following question. Do you think a soldier with good ability has a good chance for promotion in the army? The results, published in a 2-volume tome called American Soldier, unearthed a pervasive concept that now ripples through behavioural science. The military police answered the promotion question more positively than did the Air Corps. The Air Corps was better paid with better conditions and more frequent promotions than in the military police. Why then did the apparently worse-off military police feel more satisfied than their loftier Air Corps colleagues? The two different functions rarely encountered one another. We expect that because the Air Corps had a better setup, that the military police might see their chances for promotion more negatively than their esteemed airborne counterparts. But that's not what happened at all. Military police worked closely with other military police who shared the rarity of ever being promoted. Air Corps members compared their position to others in the rapid promotion Air Corps environment. When two related working groups are distant, people in one group compare their situation only to others within the same group, not across groups. Stouffer realised that comparisons are relative, not absolute. The unexpected result led him to formulate the concept now known as a relative deprivation, and it is a key component of what you nowadays call the imposter syndrome. A personal struggle with comparison. Early in my career, when I learned a young superstar academic was visiting my department, I automatically rushed to compare my career, pound for pound, paper for paper, metric for metric, against this emerging star. I reached the conclusion, neglecting logic or consideration, that I was a fraud. I wondered if I should quit while I was ahead. In this blindingly context-purged panic, I silently dissolved. Managing social comparison. In many ways, the story of the imposter phenomenon is the story of social comparison. You are exposed to myriad systems, metrics, and games that would have you, consciously or not, compare yourself to others. The incentives of the game can pressure you to take on the game's definition of success and forget all about your own. Feeling like an imposter often arises because you encounter so many situations seeding and cementing the thought that you are a small fish swimming in shark-infested waters. To manage those imposter thoughts, forget about being the big fish. Be the only fish. Comparisons are unavoidable. From the wartime curiosities of police and pilots, you now know this behaviour is part of the human condition. Metrics of your workplace can drive these comparisons beyond a means of improving yourself towards a deranged means of concluding that you are always underqualified. Understanding where a metric comes from can help you take it off the pedestal on which you placed it. Whether it's Michelin stars, which were invented to sell tyres, or paper citations or grade point averages, appreciating the origin stories of these games can help you focus on the only game of comparison you can ever win. Make you now better than you then. That concludes this reading of the guest blog for the UKRI website, Compare Carefully to Manage Your Inner Imposter. I hope you enjoyed that. If you want to read more about comparison or failure or the origin of Michelin stars or how I connected this to managing my own feelings of being a fraud, you can, as always, check out the book. The links are in the description, the links to this blog and its written form are also in the description. For now, as ever, thanks for taking the time to be here, and I will see you again soon for another episode of the Read Indeed podcast. Take care. Bye-bye for now.